We've enjoyed the presence of one another, and it's just been a great time and a great study. This whole chapter has been, this whole book has been, I mean, and this chapter also. Daniel chapter 6, more than chronologically, follows Daniel chapter 5. What I mean by that is in many of the chapters of Daniel, there will be a great time lapse between chapters, but it's not so here. As Darius had taken the kingdom, Belshazzar, and had executed him, he now begins to establish his government. That would be the case in any kingdom taking over another. And the first few verses of this chapter explain that somewhat to us, give us enough information to understand what's going on. What we'll find here in this chapter is an attempted political assassination. Now, how many knows that politicians and those involved in politics stay in trouble a lot? Why is that? It's because they're continually trying to assassinate those that are the forerunners. They're trying to take the forerunner, and you'll notice it in any political campaign, they're always shooting at, trying to bring down the guy that's in the front. In our minds, in our flesh, well, we're able to tell ourselves and convince ourselves that if we'll make the guy that's better than us look bad, it makes us look better. How many knows that is not how it works? That makes us worse. That makes us lesser people when we do those kinds of things. But we all are guilty of that. We'll find ourselves, we'll be caught up in a conversation talking about somebody who is doing things correctly, trying to make them look worse so we think we look better. And in actuality, we're making ourselves look worse. This chapter is about that. It's about political troubles that people get into. But there's more than that in this chapter. I'm going to talk to you about prejudice. How many knows that prejudice, is that a word, will get you in trouble? It's now. It will. You can't be prejudiced and be blessed of God. We're going to talk about that. How many knows also though, that we have a purpose. And if we'll fulfill our purpose in God, God will execute vengeance for us. So we want to get even. But this chapter tells us how it really works. And that if we'll just do these things, then the kingdom of God can be preached, not necessarily by us, but those that are observing our life. Darius was the one who ended up preaching the kingdom here. That's Daniel's message, but Darius is preaching it. How many would love our president of the United States of America to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God? What Darius did was take 120, what King James calls princes, and he sets them up in his entire empire. Now, we would see this as states or even counties within a state. He sets them up over his entire rule, and these people were responsible for collecting taxes, and these people were responsible for judging quarrels. We would see them more as judges or governors. Now, if things ascended above where they were able to take care of it, then what would happen is that the princes, or the presidents, which Daniel was one, the presidents would take over. And there was three presidents. Now, these three presidents were over the 120, and they were responsible for taking the funds, the taxes, and then funneling the taxes to Darius, which was distributed into the kingdom. Well, Daniel began to shine above the others. And Darius saw in Daniel what is called here an excellent spirit. And he thought to take Daniel and put him over the entire kingdom. In other words, Daniel would get all the money funneled through him. And so this little political campaign began. See, they wanted to get their hands on that money, you see. And so they didn't want Daniel there, so they wanted to shoot Daniel down so that one of them could come into that place. So they planned a political assassination. Now, the first thing I want to point out here is about the excellent spirit. What is an excellent spirit? Daniel was raised up and was seen better by King Darius than the other presidents because it says he has an excellent spirit. Now, I want to talk about this. A lot of times, we will talk about excellent spirit, and you hear it a lot of times in youth rallies where a lot of youth get together. People talk about excellent spirit because we want our children to have an excellent spirit. Now, what does that mean? What is an excellent spirit? I want you to dialogue with me just for a few minutes. We're not going to stay here a whole long time. But, I just don't want to throw the term out, excellent spirit. What is an excellent spirit? What does an excellent spirit mean? If a person has an excellent spirit, how do you know they have an excellent spirit? What are the identifications of an excellent spirit? I want you to dialogue with me, and I will give you a couple of hints or thoughts so that we won't get really weird. So we'll kind of stay on the same track. I'll give you some of the other versions. The NIV Bible says exceptional qualities. The Living Bible says great ability. The New American Standard talks about these abilities and these qualities making a person distinguishable, distinguishing a person. The word excellent in the Hebrew means preeminent. And the word spirit means wind and life. Now, I want you to dialogue with me. Give me some qualities or give me some of the distinguishing characteristics of a person that possesses an excellent spirit. Wisdom. Wisdom would be good. A person that has an excellent spirit would not be ignorant. Am I right? They would be beautiful and intelligent. Is this correct? They would try to talk right. They would try to think before they spoke. They would come from a good, very good. What's some more? Don't settle for status quo. In other words, they would be different. High standards. Okay. Now, let me stop on these two. Wisdom. Is wisdom a thing we wake up with?
No.
Can I wake up tomorrow being wise? If I want to wake up tomorrow being wise, what does that mean? If I wake up tomorrow being wise, what does that mean? It took time to become wise. And if I have high standards, do I just wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to raise my standards today? How does this work? It's a process. And here's the key. Here's what I want you to see. See, Daniel in this chapter, in chapter 5 and chapter 6, is 90 years old. Very close to 90 years old. See, when we say excellent spirit, we're wanting our kids to have an excellent spirit. I don't know that that's possible. It took Daniel 90 years to develop an excellent spirit. You can work on an excellent spirit when you're a child, and you must work on an excellent spirit as you're a child if you want to have an excellent spirit when you're an adult. Come on. Am I right? But an excellent spirit is achieved over years and years and years and years. Give me some more qualities of somebody that would have an excellent spirit. Trustworthy, honest, right? Do I just wake up tomorrow and be honest? How do you know if I'm honest? Because you've observed me for 15 years, am I right? You've watched my life. You know if I'm honest or not. You just don't wake up honest. You developed the characteristic of being honest. Give me some more. Achiever. Very good. Do I just wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden I'm an achiever? I'm going to be an achiever today. No. These are things that you develop within your life. These are fruits that we grow. These are qualities of life that distinguish us from others. Give me some more.
Righteous.
Self-discipline. Righteous. Anything else? Pardon? Joyful. Attitude. Good attitude. Right? Good attitude. You're not grumpy. You're not mean. You're not, you come at life with a proper attitude. Let me just throw some more out here just quickly. You've got the thought. My thought. You show up at work on time, right? On a regular basis. While you're there, you do a good job. You give 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. You don't take stuff home with you that you shouldn't be taking home. Am I right? We do what we're supposed to do. People watch us, and this is kind of what I want to bring for this chapter. An excellent spirit comes through time, people observing you and knowing whether you do or whether you do not have an excellent spirit. Daniel is 90 years old. These are not qualities and characteristics that Daniel just happened to have when Darius showed up. These are qualities that he had while Nebuchadnezzar was king. These are qualities he had while Belshazzar was king. These are qualities he's got when Darius is king. And he also prospered when Cyrus was king. Why? Because he has an excellent spirit. If you want to prosper in life, you've got to work on your spirit. I was paid a tremendous compliment this past Thanksgiving. I struggled a little bit with sharing it with you, but I decided to because it so ministered to me. Every Thanksgiving, our family goes and spends time with Judy's side of the family, with Judy's folks. And we have Thanksgiving afternoon and we have a supper that night. At this time together, one of Judy's sister's husband's dad has come for years and years, as long as I can remember. His name is Mr. Cleveland. He's now, this year, 92 years old. I usually have some sort of a conversation with Mr. Cleveland somewhere during the night, but this particular time, this past Thanksgiving, I didn't have an opportunity to really sit and talk with him much. Jack is just starting to walk. And I was with Jack. I was hanging out with Jack. And we were running all over Aunt Betty's house. And I was going with Jack, making sure that Jack didn't get hurt by anything, but also that Jack didn't hurt anything, in that order. And I didn't have a time and an opportunity to really talk with Mr. Cleveland. As he was leaving the house, I was sort of standing in his way. And as he came by, and he's 92 and he uses a cane, and as he came by me, I moved back and I leaned against the wall so he could pass. And he stopped, and he's a 92-year-old gentleman. He has this long white beard, like Santa Claus. Not going to go there. This exactly long white beard. And he stopped, and he looked at me. He looked at me dead in the eyes, and he says, "I hope to see you next time." And I guess when you're 92 years old, you're not real sure about next time. And I said, "Well, I'm sure we will." He's still looking at me dead in the eyes. He said, "You're a good man." That took me back. I wasn't expecting to hear that. And I guess my face contorted or something. Something happened. And he repeated it. He says, "No, you're a good man." And I thanked him. And I says, "I'll see you next year." And he, with his cane and the assistance of his son, went on out the door. I didn't think a whole lot about that until this week, as I was meditating on this and I was praying about this to the Lord, about Daniel and his excellent spirit. And I said, "You know, Lord, qualities of an excellent spirit?" And the Lord began to show me that an excellent spirit is developed over time. See, Mr. Cleveland, to me, was saying, "Delbert, you're not a normal man. You're not an average man. You're a good man. There are qualities in your life that are above normal. You have some exceptional qualities. You're a good man." He developed that over decades. He has known me 32 years. He knew me in my BC years and my AD years. We worked at the same cotton mill together before Jesus. See, he knew me then. He watched me before I was a believer. He watched me with my wife before we had children. He watched me with our children. He's watched me come into the kingdom of God and serve the Lord. He's watched me all of these years, and now he's watching me with my grandchild. He's observed me. He didn't tell me 20 years ago I was a good man. See, he's watched my life. And a 92-year-old gentleman has got something on the ball. They didn't get to be 92 by being dumb. And he says, "You're a good man." To develop an excellent spirit, it takes time. It's not going to happen tomorrow. You begin to work on areas of your life that you know aren't excellent, and you begin to hone them. Now, let me tell you a secret about having an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit, but Daniel went through a bunch of trouble. And you would think that a person that had an excellent spirit, everybody would like them. Everybody would love them. Do you know that's just about opposite of the truth? People want to shoot you down. They want to scrutinize your life. They want to find areas in you that they can bring down, talk about, make you look lesser, because in their stupid minds, it makes them appear bigger or larger or better. And this is what was happening with Daniel. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He had honest qualities. They wanted their hands on that money. Darius knew where the money should go through. Darius saw that in Daniel there was an excellent spirit. He could trust Daniel. Daniel would do it with it what he needed to be done. Another thing I saw the thieves did not like Daniel about. They're very prejudiced. They refer to Daniel as that Daniel of captivity of Judah. That Jew. That minority, that slave. that Daniel. Now, I'm going to mess with this a little bit. I know we live in North Georgia. And I know that we have a heritage and all of this stuff, and we like to fly the southern flag, and we like to do all this stuff. But I'm telling you what, if you're prejudiced, you might cause some lion's den problems for people. You might, in your prejudice, cause some lion's den situations, but they'll come out of it. And what will actually end up happening is you're going to be thrown into it, and it will devour you. It'll gnaw you. It'll chew you up. It'll destroy you. And not only you, but your children and your family is going into it also. Do you know that the prejudiced people are the most they're the meanest, they're the cruelest people? And it devours their family. If I'm prejudiced, she's going to become prejudiced because she's around me, and I'll be making these statements, and I'll be making these comments. And then it's going to get into my children, and it's going to gnaw at them, and it's going to eat them up. It will eventually destroy them. There is no place in the Bible that God blesses anybody that's prejudiced. No place. Peter saw the sheet coming down with all the unclean animals in it. He says, "Arise, kill and eat." "Oh no, Lord, that's unclean. I'm not ever going to touch what you said is unclean." He says, "Don't you call unclean what I call what I have cleansed." And we walk around in our prejudice. We walk around thinking we're better than somebody else. You need to go to one of these other countries where you're the minority and see how it feels. You need to go to Haiti where you're the only white guy in the whole place. I mean, the whole nation, there ain't no more. To Trinidad. It was funny. I remember I was in Trinidad and I didn't have a very good tan, but it was very hot in Trinidad, and I didn't have any tan, actually. I was white. And I wore a pair of shorts to town. And everybody was looking at that white guy in those shorts. I was a light, yeah. I'm telling you, if you're prejudiced, you're going to be destroyed. It's going to destroy you. God cannot bless prejudice. He will not. He refuses to. And the thing that you're causing some lion's den problems for other is going to eventually not only devour you, but your spouse and your children. So they were prejudiced. They didn't like Daniel's excellent spirit. So they began to devise this complicated plan to bring him down. The first thing that they did was begin to scrutinize his life. He began to look at his life in every area of it. Try to find all the closets, you know, looked at his skeletons in his closets. Now, Daniel was a eunuch, so I guess it has its benefits. There wasn't very many skeletons that Daniel could have had. He had an excellent spirit. He was honest, and there was no area of his life that they could find anything. And it says that as they looked, they could find no fault in him. What a testimony! If they looked in all of our closets, if they saw how we pay our bills, if they saw how we treated our spouse, if they look at us like that, what would they find? If we, you don't just have to go to this church, but if you say that you're a believer, if you say you're a Christian, and you start telling people about Jesus, and you start telling them about the kingdom, and you start telling them that God heals, and you start telling them how wonderful He is, and how He delivers you, and how He takes care of your family, and how He blesses you, you better believe you're going to begin to be scrutinized. They'll watch what time you come to work closer than they did before. They'll watch what you do at work closer than they did before. They'll watch what you take home from work closer than they did before. They'll watch your children, how they respond to you in public. They know them at school. They'll listen to what's coming out of those kids' mouths. You begin to be scrutinized every area of your life. Daniel was scrutinized. He had an excellent spirit. They didn't like his excellent spirit. They were prejudiced against you. You better understand that you're a peculiar people, and people are prejudiced against you. And in their dumb minds, they think that they can pull you down to make themselves better. They're watching every area of our life. They watch how we pay our bills. They watch how our children respond and obey us. They watch everything about our lives. They watch how fast I drive. They watch how many speeding tickets we get. They know. There he goes. They watch, look at what kind of house we live in, what kind of car we drive. Oh, yeah, you're a God of prosperity, but look at this. They look at everything. They even look how thin we are. They were talking. They weren't even listening to me. I said it again. They look how thin we are.
Amen.
All right. And they find skeletons. But in Daniel, they could find none. That's another quality of an excellent spirit. And so they said, okay, we can't find anything wrong. He has no fault here. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk about what he believes. We'll talk about what he believes. You know, some of that stuff he teaches and preaches is a little weird. We can talk about that. We make him look weird there. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like people, they can't find anything really wrong with your life, and so what they start talking about is what you believe. And so they developed this plan. They went to Darius and they said, Darius, we all got together, which was a lie. They hadn't all got together. Daniel wasn't with them. He said, we all got together and we decided that if any man offers to God, any God, a prayer, asking for anything, or ask any man of anything except you, then they'll be thrown into a lion's den, and we'll have this decree for 30 days. Now, that sounds really weird, but until you read the chapter and you get the spirit of Darius, it appears that Darius really was concerned about his people. He wanted proper judgment in the land, and that's what this whole chapter is kind of showing us. He wanted no hurt to come to him because he wanted the people to know how much he cared for the people. It really seemed that he was concerned. He wanted to take care of the people. And I believe they projected it. We can do this for 30 days. And that way people will be forced to come to you. And they'll see how much you really care about them. That's cool. Darius says, that's cool. We'll do that. So he signs it. And it says that with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which means it could not be changed. Once it went in, it was a law. It could not be changed. All right. Here we go. Now this is the part that challenged me. Bible says that when Daniel knew the thing had been signed was a decree of the Medes and the Persians, Daniel went with open windows, kneeled down and prayed three times, as he did a fourth time, as he always did. Now, it wasn't the kneeling down and praying that got me. See, I pray a lot, and I know there are people that pray a lot more than three times a day. So that's not what challenged me. See, I saw so many ways that this lion's den trouble could have been avoided. Shut the windows, Daniel. Daniel, go to another room where they can't see you through that window. Daniel, you're a man of means and wealth and money. Daniel, listen, go take a 30-day vacation. You can go to the mountains. You can go to the seaside resort. Hey, buddy, if you want to, go in the woods and pitch you a tent and pray all day. Daniel, it's just 30 days. God's not going to send you to hell for not praying for 30 days, is he? Just shut the window. And so I'm asking, Lord, I don't understand this. Why did Daniel, as it was, stick their nose in it? Why? I don't understand this. Continued reading the chapter, coming on down, asking the Holy Spirit to minister to me and to show me. And I came to the part where they took Daniel. They cast him in the lion's den. As they would Jesus 500 years later, cast him in his tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the lion's den, just as they would the tomb of Jesus 500 years later. And they sealed the den, just as they would seal the tomb of Jesus 500 years later, the signet of the king. And then the next part of that verse says this, that the purposes of Daniel could not be changed. Now, what that means is that no one could come and rescue Daniel. There's no way Daniel could get out of that. It was illegal to mess with Daniel while he's in this thing. I understand that. But what that said to me was that the purposes of Daniel could not be changed. So we all have a purpose. You're saved by grace through faith, but you're saved unto good works. There's something you're saved to do. There is a purpose for your salvation other than you going to heaven when you die. And here's the kicker. To get to that purpose, there's a lion's den. A part of the purposes of Daniel included a lion's den. What would we do? Would we shut the doors? Would we shut the windows? Would we go on vacation? We just wouldn't pray for 30 days. Go into a back room. You see, Daniel preached to Darius and to anybody that would listen to him about the kingdom. How God rules now and God is in dominion and this has a kingdom that will never end. And God can deliver and God can heal and God can rescue. But had Daniel shut those windows, what would he have really believed? See, people hear you and they hear me talk about this glorious kingdom. They hear us talk about this glorious Jesus. He can heal you. He can save you. He can rescue you. He can prosper you. Then they see us shut the windows. They hear stuff come out of our mouths. We just shut the windows. Come on. They see us respond in anger and say things about people. We've just shut the window. They see our kids run rampant. We've just shut the windows. They know we cheated on our taxes. They see we didn't pay our bills on time. They see us max out our credit cards. They see us use profanity. They see that nasty joke. We've just shut the windows. You see, when we shut the windows, we're not fulfilling our purpose. But a lot of times by not shutting the windows, we're heading for a lion's den. Daniel went to the lion's den. It was so interesting to me that Darius had heard his message. Daniel had obviously told Darius about the kingdom. Because Darius says this, Daniel, the God that you serve continually. How do you say it now? The God that you serve, not just on Sundays. Come on. Not just when we make it, not when there's not a decree. The God you serve, whether the windows are opened or closed. The God that you serve continually. The God you serve continually, He will deliver you. There is a key there, is there not? If we really want to come out of the lion's den, there has to be a continuation of our serving of the Lord. We want Him. I get so amazed at Christians. They get into these lion's den. They don't understand why God doesn't deliver them. Well, they haven't served Him. Continually. The God that you serve continually, He will deliver you. But you know Darius didn't believe that. He said it, but he didn't believe it. What did he do? He went home fasting and praying. He went home, didn't sleep at night. He was all tore up about the thing. You know, I've done that. I have seen some of you in lion's dens that I knew you were not coming out of. I knew it was going to take you out. I knew it was over. I said, they'll never get out of this one. But I would say to you, we'll trust God. God's going to move. God's going to do something. We'll just trust the Lord. I didn't believe that. Now, there was a positive confession, and my spirit was hopefully saying it, but my mind was saying, oh, he's going to be so eaten by this. This is going to take him out. This is going to kill him. They'll never make it. Only to find out in the morning. Daniel, did the God that you serve continually, was he able? How many has ever done that? You knew that somebody was about to be taken out, man. You knew you had to trust God because there was nothing else you could do. Daniel, Darius had done everything, hadn't he? Darius tried to pull all the punches he could. He tried to use his money. But it was a law of the Medes and the Persians, and it altereth not. Listen, folks, there are times and things you and I are going to get into. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care who you know. I don't know how big or bad the person that you think is going to get you out of it is. They're not going to be able to get you out of it, and you got to go through the lion's den. And by that time, you better have a God that you've served continually, because he needs to send an angel. Because if he doesn't send an angel and shut the mouth of that lion, you're dead. The God that was he able? Daniel says, O King Darius, live forever. I'm going to. O King Darius, live forever. My God hath sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have caused me no hurt. Now, I've been through what I think is a couple of lion's dens. I hope I don't have any more. But a lion's den will make you bitter or better. So they rolled the stone away. They took Daniel out. Daniel resurrected from his den, just as Jesus would resurrect from his time. Now, let me say this about the purpose before I leave the thought. You see, the scripture says that the purposes of Daniel might not change. Did Daniel have to go to the lion's den? Did Daniel have to fulfill his purposes? Did he have to? No. Not was it his purpose. Could he have shut the windows? Yes. Did Jesus have to go to the cross? Could he have shut the windows? Did Moses have to talk to the burning bush? Did he have to go to Egypt? Did Paul have to go to Rome? Talk to me, somebody. Did Peter have to be crucified upside down? Did John have to go to Patmos? But to fulfill their purposes, there was a lion's den. And it wasn't to be avoided. It wasn't to be changed. This cup was not to pass from them. But it was through the drinking of that cup that the kingdom was proclaimed. Daniel comes out. I want to say this about vengeance. Daniel didn't ask for vengeance. I think when we ask for vengeance, then we've already missed it. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So oftentimes we want vengeance. The Bible says, be careful how you judge, because the measure that you judge others is the same measure that you will be judged. This is a prime example of that, is it not? They judged Daniel with the lion's den. It ended up they were thrown into the lion's den, and it judged them. You've got to maintain a forgiving spirit, and it's very difficult when people throw you in the lion's den. In fact, it's next to impossible. It's just these kinds of experiences that make you bitter. But if you become bitter, then no vengeance is going to be executed, number one. And you're going to be devoured. The Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, if it would better be for the person who offends one of my little ones to have a millstone, a 100-pound stone, tied around their neck and thrown into the depths of the sea, than to offend one of my little ones. We don't have to ask for vengeance. Now understand, it's not always tomorrow or the next day. But God will execute vengeance. You keep your heart right. You keep an excellent spirit. And let God deal with all of that stuff. I promise you, they will be devoured. Then I want to end the thought here. End our time with Daniel and in our series of messages that we've done. There was a plan. There was a purpose. There was a thing that Daniel had to go through. There was this lion's den. You and I will experience lion's den. Because we become a Christian, because we're a believer, does not make everything sweet and rosy. Actually, you'll be challenged more. You'll be talked about more. You'll be persecuted more because of what you say you believe. Don't shut the windows. Because it's after this happens that Darius now proclaims the kingdom. The very thing that we're here to do, the very thing we exist to do. Daniel didn't have to do it. Darius did it. And I want you to turn, if you have closed your Bible, I want you to open back again to Daniel chapter 6. And I just want to close with these last few verses. I want to read verses, I think, 25 to the end of the chapter just one more time. And I want you to see it in your Bible, in your scriptures. I'll read it, and we've got so many different translations, which is wonderful. But I want you to see that the kingdom that we proclaim, people, didn't just happen. And it's not going to happen. It's always been here. The dispensationalists feed us this garbage. That the world's going to end shortly. I mean, I'm talking about a few days now. Stroke of midnight. Bang, it's over. You do notice that they're starting to crawfish a little bit now. They are starting to... Well, maybe it won't. It'll just be different. Yes, it'll be different. Every check you write will have 2,000 on it instead of 1999. Yeah. Your car's a year older. Yeah. You know, and this Y2K thing, it's not going to be quite as bad as they thought. The northern half of the hemisphere is not really going to blow off now. Because they keep waiting for a kingdom to come. They keep waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Daniel knew it was here. Daniel preached that it existed then. Daniel says it will never end. The God that I serve and the God that you serve, whether you believe it or not, rules right now. He rescues you right now. He delivers you right now. You haven't got to wait for Him to come and do it one day. He come to give you life and that more abundantly right now. I'm walking in heavenly places right now. That's what the Bible says. It says He's caught me up and He's made me to sit together with Him in the heavenly places. That's not when I die. That's right now. Read this with me. You don't have to read out loud. Just kind of read along. Five. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God and steadfast forever. How long is God steadfast for? Forever. And His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Come on. When's His kingdom going to be destroyed?
Never.
Never. When is the devil going to rule?
Never.
And His dominion shall be even unto the end. How long will His dominion be? Even unto the end. And listen, this was going on before Jesus. God was in control before Jesus. Well, Jesus came to give us, you and I, was a better covenant. With better promises. With a better life to bring in the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Listen, we are written epistles. You better believe you're being looked at. Paul says that you are written epistles. You're being scrutinized everything that we do. And we're here, written epistles, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And our lives proclaim the abundance of God and the healing of God and the deliverance of God and the rescue of God. Verse 27, He delivereth and He rescueth and He worketh signs and wonders. Does He? Now, who's preaching this? Who's saying this? Is Daniel saying this? The people that you want to hear the message will hear it, but they've got to see you go through the lion's den. Darius didn't preach this until he saw it active. He didn't preach this until he saw God deliver Daniel. Oh, wow, I like this God. When they see you, when they see you overcome your finances, and they see you healed, and they see you walking in prosperity, and they see your family loving, and they see your children obeying, and they see you paying your bills on time, and they see your job is excellent, and they raise you up, they want you to be the boss. When they see God moving in your life, and they preach the message, He delivers, He rescues. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian.